I want you to look in John 15. This memorable evening when Christ is sitting with those disciples. Judas has been excused and the whole tone and temperature of the room has changed and his little children are gathered around his feet before he's to leave them. So let's read in John 15, one of the greatest chapters, I feel, in the Scriptures. John 15, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, circle that's your first level, not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, circle that fruit, that's your second level, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth, here comes your third one, more fruit. Now in one verse, he's given us three levels. There are those branches that bear not fruit. Then there are those branches that bear fruit. And then there are those branches that bear more fruit. Can I get a witness? Now let's go find the fourth one. It's going to be in verse 5. But I'm reading in verse 3, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. That's why we go to church, because the word will clean you. Amen. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth, here's the fourth one, much fruit. Circle that one, that's your fourth level. Now you notice it didn't take much to go from not fruit to fruit to more fruit. But to get down from more fruit to much fruit, there's a lot going on there. Much fruit. And then the fifth one don't show up for another 11 verses. In verse 16, we got remaining fruit. Now, honey, as Brother Dana would say, honey, if there's a lot between more fruit and much fruit, two or three verses, I'm real interested in having much fruit. But I'm very interested in that fruit remaining. I don't want to come down to the end and lose that which we have wrought. I've started right. I want to stay right. And I sure want to finish right. And I'd love to have some fruit that remains. Let's read it in verse 16. Then we'll go back and deal with this. Verse 16, ye have not chosen me. But I have chosen you and ordained you. Now let me remind you, look at me for 1 second. He's looking at these 12 disciples. These verses are not so much about salvation as they are about service. Don't let somebody confuse you and make this a blanket general statement on salvation. He's not teaching salvation doctrine. He's looking at his 12 disciples, the apostles, as it would turn out, telling them that he chose them men for that special place in time. Can I get a witness? Yeah, but it is true, and I'm so glad that that applies to me and you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit. And that, here it is, number 5, that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now there's your 5 levels of fruit. Every believer is going to be at one level or the other. Every church is going to be at one level or the other. The man preached this to my heart. Probably I'm 41, 14, 20, nearly 30 years ago. As a little teenage preacher boy, the things of God were so big to me. The man preached this into my heart in a great conference, and I've never got over it. The Holy Ghost put it in there deep. Maybe he'll do that for somebody tonight. Here they are, five levels of fruit. There's not fruit. There's fruit. More fruit. Much fruit. And then remaining fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, what I'm interested in is what happens around these and how you move from one to the other. Let's examine the first one. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, I am so glad that you, child of God, can't lose your salvation. Can I get a witness right there? See that every branch in me. If you got that in me part down, you're all right. But I promise you, he knows how to take you away. Let me give you three things real quick. I'll keep my 30-minute deadline. That's a self-imposed deadline, which means it can be self-adjusted. I'm already hedging. You see that? Well, let me give you three things real quick right here. If you're jotting down notes, I see something. He can take you away to the shed. Yes, sir. He can take you off to the woodshed. My daddy was old-timey. He got in before the psychologist got here. They advocate holding hands and have a group discussion, family talk. Somebody sing, come by ya. Let's get the issues out. Turn on Oprah. Get the issues out. Let's all work. Holding hands. Daddy said, hold your ankles. That's why. Can I get a witness? He said, hold your ankles. And then woo! Lord mercy. Son, amen. He knows how to take you away to the shed. Honey, I've been out there more than once behind that shed. The Holy Ghost wear me out. Hey, he's got your number. You ain't going to get away with nothing. I'm going to tell something a little too personal. I got a spot where I have to take my little son. And if you love him, you'll chasten him. If you care, you'll be involved. Trying to keep him out of prison. Trying to keep him out of hell. Now, gentlemen, we act in anger. You'll discourage your children. You act in anger. Hey, you come in full of devils and mad because you ain't right with God and go to hollering and beating on everybody. You're going to drive them into hell. That ain't going to work. You better be prayed up and full of God to deal with those children right. I got a spot where I take him when we have to deal with him. And I love on him, talk to him. And I remember my daddy helping me to avoid hell. I had a phone call come in some time back. It's all too personal. I wouldn't ever tell you, but a phone call. And I rushed to pray and said, oh, God. And you know where I fell down to praying? Right there at that spot. And I was down there praying. The Holy Ghost said, this is where you discipline your son, ain't it? He said, this is where I'm disciplining my son. Yes, sir. We'll do it. Folks, I'm so glad. You know, Hebrews 12 said that's a merciful thing. Right. When he chastens his children, it's merciful. Yes, sir. If I didn't love my boy, I wouldn't care what he did. Let him go his own ways. But I love my boy. I ain't going to let him go. There is a way which seemeth right unto a little boy, but it'll end up in death. And there's a way that seems right to me and you. But God's so good, He doesn't let us live in our own ways. He's good about that. His ways are not our ways, and He'll break you of your ways. Oh, mercy. That's what He does with branches that are His branches. They're in Him, but they're not bearing. He'll take you off to the shed. And if you don't respond to that, over a long period, I believe, of God working with you, He'll take you to the shelf. God put a man on a shelf. Now I will say this. You'll go to the shed half your lifetime before He'll put you on a shelf. But there does come a place and a time where God will shelf you. But He only does that with sons who over a long period of time refuse to cooperate with the shed. Now, some of you are tender conscious. Don't let the devil jump up there and tell you God's put you on a shelf. If you're sitting there worried about it, it ain't happened to you. If you're worried about it, that's a good indication that you probably respond pretty good to the shed. He only puts ones on the shelf who don't care. Oh my. And then there's even some third that he'll take to a shallow grave. You better believe one thing. You can't monkey around with God. He's buried more than one or two. Ananias and Sapphira came strutting in. You know their only sin was they kept back. God saved you to use you. He don't want you to hold back. You ought to thank God you got a pastor who ain't holding back. Don't you let nobody get to grumbling and whining around here. Why in the world? Why are we doing over here? God, I got a beautiful auditorium. Why you want to knock a wall out? Because you got a pastor that ain't going to hold back. Amen. You start holding back part, in a little while, God will just have to bury you. I want to make a little prophetic announcement. Some of you ain't going to jive with this church doubling and tripling, and you're going to start holding back, and honey, you'll find yourself in a bad place. Find yourself in a bad place with God. All that comes from selfishness. I don't like what's going on. God never asked me what I liked about anything. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. That's how He gets you to the next level. Write this down if you're keeping notes. I'm giving you vitamin C's tonight. We're making straight C's. That's familiar territory for some of you. I'm looking at both of your son-in-laws while I'm saying that right there. Straight. Both them boys married up. You better know that's right. I can tell by looking at it. And you other two, you boys need help too. I can just tell. The whole outfit there needs help. Straight seeds. So write this down in your seeds, how you get out of not fruit chastening. Chastening. That's how it gets you on the fruit. Chastening. Then number two, we're at fruit. It's how God will get you to fruit. He'll take you away. So He might bring you back if you cooperate. And then every branch that beareth fruit, what does He do to the branch that bears fruit? He purges it. Your second seed is going to be the cutting. You know what God does with fruit? That He wants to see more fruit. He don't give you more. He makes you less. Y'all got to help me right here. When God wants more out of you, He makes less of you. I'm fixed to sign my own Bible. I mean, that's good preaching right there. Honey, when God wants more fruit, He's got to have less vine. That branch got to be less. He cuts. He sees a church bearing fruit, He'll come in there and say, we need to whack off about a third of this. Because I want more fruit. There's about a third of them getting full of theirself, patting theirself on the back, thinking somehow they're responsible for this. When He wants more fruit out of me, He makes less of me and starts cutting on me. And that's how you go from fruit to more fruit. He purges it. There might be some vineyard keepers here. I don't know. This close to the country. Probably got some muscadines. Grapes be somewhere in town. It's a muscadine. This is a muscadine church right here. Oh, but you know that when they want them big fat clusters of grapes, they go in there and cut way back on all them little growths that's been taking up the sap, not producing nothing. We get a lot of little growth in us, don't we? Stuff outshoot here and a little something growing here, and it's all taken away from what God really wants in your life. That's how you go from fruit to more fruit. He'll cut on you. And then, how do we go from more fruit to much fruit? Well, I'm not going to give you the C right now. I want you to ponder on it. Let's read it. See the end of verse 2? He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now that much fruit's down there at the end of verse 5. I wonder what I got to go through to get from more fruit to much fruit. Now I want to say it's a joy to every pastor to get a much fruit Christian in the church. I want to say it's probably a joy to God to get a much fruit church. Most Christians that we run into in this journey are hung up back there at not fruit. They ain't never going to get sold out. They ain't never going to let God sanctify. They ain't never going to swallow that pride and puke it out and be surrendered. Most pastors are so flustered and frustrated because they're having to work with a bunch of not fruit Christians. And boy, it's good for somebody to respond to the woodshed and start bearing fruit. And then, but boy, when you get in that more fruit, he starts purging and cutting. Honey, right there is where they go find another church. All stumped up here, bleeding out everywhere. What? I don't even hang around y'all no more. Honey, you hang around Christ and the cross, there's a lot of cutting going on. More fruit. But how rare to find a Spirit-filled young couple that's moved into much fruit. How rare to find a preacher, to find a pastor who's moved into much fruit. How rare to find that evangelist. How rare to find that missionary. How rare to find that Christian. How rare to find that church that's willing to be a much fruit. Wonder how you get there. Let's read it. Pick up in verse 4. Verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Woo! There it is. You made it through three levels. Proud of yourself. I'd happy to be more fruit, and then God wants to take you to much fruit. Guess what's coming in your life? The Word. I need y'all to help me. The Word. Now I know I'm deep enough in the country. Some of you boys are going to pull that country boy excuse on me. Well, this country boy, I ain't never read much. Man, that's for you book learning guy. That's for you smart. I ain't no Dana Williams. That's smart book learning. That's funny. I bet you could explain the ins and outs of every ballistic bullet on every rifle, every caliber. I bet you could break down a four-wheel drive truck in your sleep with one hand tied behind your back and put it back together. You know, 501 bylaws to deer hunting season. Y'all go ahead and call Jonathan. Tell him I'm preaching on it. Coon hunting. You boys know every lake. NASCAR. Tell me, there's got to be so many millimeters off that air to blow it open. How do y'all know all that? You ain't dumber than nobody. There's one little thing makes a difference, a little word called desire. If you love something, you'll study it. If you love something, you'll long after it and you'll learn about it. And if you ever get to loving Jesus, you'll look for Him, you'll long after Him. And there's one place you're going to find Him. You're going to find Him in that book. And you'll find yourself in that book, and He knows how clean. You see that word clean? You know what that word will do to you? It'll clean you out. It'll clean you up. The Word. Wonder what else is going to get me to much fruit. Verse 4. Abide. What about that? Abide in me and I in you. That means to make a permanent dwelling and to move in. To tabernacle. To take up residence with no notions of leaving. I'm moving in with Him and I ain't moving out. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine. No more. And I like that little word, cannot. As the branch cannot. Do you see what the end of verse 5 says? When you're getting that much fruitful without me, you can't do nothing. I got a little announcement for you. You ever get in the much fruit business, you'll have to lean on God for everything. He don't let you take part in the much fruit business. You over there in the not fruit, you're running everything. You get moved to fruit, you're still running a lot. He purges you. Brings you into more fruit and you're still active. You ever get in much fruit, you just laying there dead. And say, it's all Him. You cannot. They tell me, preacher, and I don't even know the scientific terminology for this. They tell me the only way that the sap runs through that vine and it bears big clusters of fat grapes. There is a process, and you go home and Google it or call your science teacher. You can get the science word for it. There is a process. That vine on the inside, that branch laying out through there, it has to die. There are little cells inside of it. It's made up of cells. And when it's time to bear fruit, them cells have to die. And when they do, they're open. As long as they live and they're fat, they're closed, they're full. But they open up. And when they die on the inside, that sap runs right through them and comes out in a cluster of grapes. If you ever get to much fruit, you'll have to just let God just... You'll just have to lay there and die and let God open you up in an empty way. He'll empty you. He'll remove you. You are the only hindrance to sap running through your system and big fat grapes coming out. You're the only thing in the way. You're the only thing in the way. I know we like to blame everybody in this modern age of psychology. Blame everybody. Blame her mama. Blame her daddy. Blame her upbringing. Blame our environment. Blame the schools. Blame the government. Blame somebody. Sue somebody. Somebody ought to be slapped instead of me. But in God's world, He looks at you and He says, Adam! Where are you? Now I'll make a little nap. If you go to hell, it's because you wanted to. If you live in the shed and end up on the shelf, it's not because He put you. You wanted to. If you get stuck at some early level and never develop further, it's because you're the only thing standing in your way. That's how you go. Write this C down. How you go from more fruit to much fruit. It's called communion. Communion. Abiding in Him. Him abiding in you. There's a lot of prayer in there. There's a lot of faith in there. There's a lot of Scripture in there. See verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And guess what? Look at verse 8. When you get in the much fruit, you're glorifying God. That's what He wanted you to be. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. That abiding. That word. That prayer. That constant communion. Living in His presence. Living with a consciousness of God. That much fruit can run through that soul that's empty of itself. Died and got out of my way. Much fruit. Much fruit. Well, we're at the last one. Y'all didn't believe that 30-minute deal, did you? I didn't either, but I'm hungry. That man's feeding me when this is over. This will be over. When I hush, it's almost over. Woo! Glory! I'll start that diet next Monday. I just can't get discouraged. I look in the mirror and no matter where I'm at, 220, 250, 290, I still look good to me. I'm like, praise God. I told Jennifer this morning, whoo, God been good to you, baby. He's been good to you. I tell her those sort of things all the time. She's skinny, slender, got a high metabolism, and always trying to lose weight. She's crazy. I got a projected goal. I keep right between 220 and 295. Anywhere in there is, you know, that's my target. That's my target. I just can't get discouraged. I want you to look at this last one. How do you go from much fruit to remaining fruit? That's a good question. I'm almost done. I want to ask you all that. I'd be very interested in getting to the place where I'm glorifying God, bearing much fruit, being His disciple, walking with Him, talking with Him. I'd really like to maintain that till I get to the judgment seat of Christ and have fruit that remains. How do you do that? I'll give you your last C. It's called continue. It's right in our text. Let me find it at verse 9. See, he mentions much fruit in verse 8, then he heads toward remaining fruit. You see that? He mentions much fruit in verse 8, then he heads on to talk about remaining fruit. What's the first thing he says? Continue. You see it in verse 9? As the fathers love me, so have I loved you. Continue, ye in my love. Look at verse 10. If ye what? Keep. Hold on to it. Guard it. Treasure it. Regard it. Keep. Verse 11. He said, I'm interested that my joy might remain in you. How do you get from much fruit to remaining fruit? Well, you got to continue. There's some things you got to keep. There's some things you got to continue. I love verse 13. Greater love hath no man this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Hey, y'all, you want to keep that much fruit maintained and go to the judgment seat? You're going to lay down your life. That's part of that getting out of the way and letting that sap run. You got to lay down your life. You got to continue. You got to keep. You can't quit. I like that little word, keep. If you keep my commandments. Is it verse 10? Boy, when I did my word study on this, it delivered me. Right off the bat, if you was raised in church, here's what you'd think. If you keep my commandments, you'd think, if I don't break any of the commandments and live perfect, that's what you'd think. But he didn't say nothing about it. He said, just keep them. This little word keep is as a keepsake. It's the same thing Mary did when the angel came and told her that this virgin's going to bear child. It said she kept these sayings. Well, she didn't break the commandments of that. No. She kept them. It meant she gathered them up, held them closely in her heart, and treasured them and cherished them. God doesn't mean for us. It wasn't His intention for you to take this and live perfect. Son of God is the only one that ever could do that. When He wants you to keep this, He wants you to cherish it, love it. Keep His word, keep His commandments, keep His sayings. Love them, cherish them. There's some things that are precious. I remember my grandpa's last words. I've kept them. I've not forgot them. I've repeated them. I've loved them. I remember my son's first word. I remember the night that I got engaged to my wife. I've kept that. Love it. Hold it. Cherish it. That's how you keep something. You love it and hold it close to your heart. Some of you, the devil beats you over the head and says, you're not perfect. You're not keeping God's word. Oh, but if you're holding it, loving it, longing for it and desiring it, you're keeping it. He'll take care of the perfection part. You just take care of what's precious. Remaining fruit. Continue. When you get to that much fruit, there's some things you ought to keep or some things you ought to continue. That means don't quit and be faithful. And God will let that sap run through you the rest of your years and let big fat grape clusters come out. And one day you get to that final C, them crowns. The remaining fruit. I'm still amazed that he's bringing crowns. I didn't ask for them. I wouldn't have asked for them. I don't feel like I deserve them, do you? But you know, all he wanted to talk about was crowns. That's every time he talked about crowns. He said, I'm a coming and I'm bringing my crowns. I'm going to give you a crown of life, a crown of glory. He mentions crowns. I'm still amazed. We put a crown of thorns on his head. And he's, if you'll just love me and be faithful, I'll put crowns of glory on your head. I still can't get over. I just drove the nails in his hand and shoved the thorns in his head. But he said, I love you. And I forgive you. And the boy, if you love me, I'll put them crowns on you. That remaining fruit. You know why this God's knocking walls out and opening this thing up? He wants somebody to go from fruit to more fruit to much fruit. And there'll be some big fat cluster grapes hanging around here when Jesus comes back and has some remaining fruit. I told you, preacher, a little while ago, you know all you've had is young couples. You know what that means? You've had all these young couples. In a little while, you're going to have a house full of teenagers. The next crop is coming in. If y'all stay on this course, God can touch the world through this church. There'll be little missionaries and little servants and little prayer warriors and little preachers come out of this bunch. You let these young'uns grow up in this, honey, they ain't going to be able to just go to Atlanta and make money. They're going to go around the world with this gospel. Because somebody was willing to give and somebody was willing to let God use them. Die and lay over much fruit. Let me talk to you about the judgment seat of Christ for 1 minute and then I'm done. The judgment seat of Christ is for Christians. He don't deal with sins there. He deals with sons. At the judgment seat of Christ, he's not dealing with sins. He's dealing with sons. He's already judged my sins at Calvary's cross. Is that but that for what the... You Baptist. Once saved, always saved. And you can do whatever you want to. Well, guess what? Once you're saved, you're always saved. And you can do whatever you want to. For a few minutes. And then that first thing comes in, that not fruit. Hello? He comes in with a hickory switch and said, me and you going to the shed. And when he says, me and you are going to the shed, you are going to the shed. You don't run from that. You don't hide from that. You don't dodge it. You can't talk no... Your mom and daddy may have spoiled you, but God ain't going to. We got a lot of spoiled brats in 2011. But God ain't got no spoiled brats. He's got spoiled children. He'd give you more than you ever deserve. But he ain't got no brats. He'll beat the slop out of you. Let me say something about the judgment seat of Christ and I'll be done. The only way you can get in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ is live this life for yourself. The only thing you got to do to not be in trouble at the judgment seat of Christ is live this life for Him. Amen. Jennifer has a ticket system. She made up little tickets. My kids, they love little things are the best. She made up little tickets. If they do good during the day, show initiative. That's one of them. I'm like, that's good. Honey, what does that mean? You kids show initiative. That's what I asked. If they behave, if they help mommy, if they obey, if they go out of their way, they get extra. If they do something good and not asked to do it just because they want to, they get extra. And at the end of the day, she has a little, and boy, she's tough now. Whew, she's a tough mama. She'd be telling me something about whip that child. I'm tired. Whip it. She's a tough one, boy. But boy, she likes to get them tickets out. And they get so, you could have given them a Corvette and they wouldn't be more excited. Them little tickets, different colors, little things. At the end of the day, I don't know if y'all are catching this. If they've been good, they get tickets. If they were bad during the day, they probably got a little whooping. But at the end of the day, it ain't about getting whoopings. It's just about how good you did, and how much love you showed, how much obedience you showed. And boy, if you took the initiative, and that thing works, Preston will be, his job's to empty all the trash cans. There won't be nothing in them. Hit me walking through the living room with a trash can. I'm showing initiative, Mommy. Because he knows that cars too. He earns a little cars off of cars too. And Chloe gets stickers. And butterflies. And poodles and spice and everything nice. And at the end of the day, I don't know if y'all are getting this or not. Now, nobody gets whippings. They don't get whippings. That was dealt with during the day. At the end of the day, it ain't about how bad you were. That's already been dealt with. It's about how good you were. And Brother Rob, they like them extra tickets. She'll say, you know, you didn't even have to be told, and you did this, here's another. You know, Mommy didn't even think of that, but you thought of it and you went and did that for Mommy. Here's another. I got news for y'all at the judgment seat of Christ. You better believe He's a better daddy than I am. You better believe He's a better parent than any of us. And at the judgment seat, as them tickets are handed out, you swell up with pride and get to walk out into the millennial reign and be so happy I made Mommy happy. You know you're carrying that stuff in the millennial reign. There are some nights, and I told you she's a stickler. She's consistent. I ain't that disciplined, but she is. And there are some nights, Preston, no tickets. You know what you did today. You know what you didn't do. Son, he is heartbroken. No tickets. Chloe, you only get one ticket. You know how you were today. I want to get to the judgment seat of Christ. And I want Him to say, son, you done good. We're not going to talk about them whippings I had to give you. That's all over with. And Jesus took the big whipping for you. At Calvary. We're just dealing with sons here. But I'd sure hate to get there and Him say, no tickets. You know how you were. You weren't obedient. You weren't unselfish. You just lived for yourself. I'm glad you're here. But no tickets. And I don't know what all that means, but it don't mean something good. I want to be, well done, thou good and faithful. Boy, I'd like to get to much fruit. and maintain it. I want you to bow your heads. I want us to stand. I want a pianist to come. Our heads are bowed. Here's what I'd like you to do. Why don't we find a little place of prayer on this prayer meeting night? Let the Holy Ghost help us. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I'd like to get to that much fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. And I'd like to continue and keep some things, and that your fruit should remain. That your fruit should remain.